No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 23rd day of June. Welcome, everyone. What a journey we are on together, huh? We have met some people along the way. We have identified ourselves in many of these people and their stories along the way. We have learned of creation, learned of humanity, discovered how quickly the heart of humanity can be deceived. The desires of the flesh will go to great lengths to get what we want. And then we see a covenant between man and God lived out throughout several generations. Leaders come, leaders have gone to our first king, and then our second king, and then our third king of Israel. I hope that's right. King Saul, King David, King Solomon. We just recently said farewell to King Solomon, whose wealth was accumulated in wisdom more than any other wealth. In addition to worldly wealth, financial wealth, power, he built the first temple, a place of worship for God, a place where God meets with his people. And then we see even the desire of a very wise man get the best of him, where he has intermarried with women of different people groups. Now, again, I want to point out and mention that the reason for God commanding the people of Israel to not intermarry has nothing to do with God being discriminant over certain groups of people. It has everything to do with the gods that the different people groups worship, who they are solely committed to as a family, as a culture. And boy, don't we know that women have a persuasion within them to draw men away from what it is that they believe and cause them to stumble. And that's played out in scripture, as we have seen. So this brings us to where we are. Israel was at its finest hour of prosperity, of wealth, of growth and abundance. And the warnings came from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Moses, even, to not forget God in the land of plenty. And we will see how this story plays out today. Today we read 1 Kings chapters 12 through 14, and this week we're reading the Christian Standard Bible, 1 Kings chapter 12. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard about this, he stayed in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon's presence. Jeroboam stayed in Egypt, but they summoned him. And Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam. Your father made our yoke harsh. You, therefore, lighten your father's harsh service and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam replied, go away for 3 days and then return to me. So the people left. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon when he was alive, asking, how do you advise me to respond to this people? They replied, today, if you will be a servant to this people and serve them, and if you respond to them by speaking kind words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice of the elders who had advised him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and attended him. He asked them, what message do you advise that we send back to this people who said to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him told him, "This is what you should say to this people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' This is what you should tell them: 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Although my father burdened you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with barbed whips.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had ordered. "Return to me on the third day." Then the king answered the people harshly. He rejected the advice the elders had given him and spoke to them according to the young men's advice. "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with barbed whips." The king did not listen to the people because this turn of events came from the Lord to carry out his word, which the Lord had spoken through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered him, "What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Israel, return to your tents. David, now look after your own house." So Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the Israelites living in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of forced labor, but all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam managed to get into the chariot and flee to Jerusalem. Israel is still in rebellion against the house of David today. When all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they summoned him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. No one followed the house of David except the tribe of Judah alone. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mobilized 180,000 fit young soldiers from the entire house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin to fight against the house of Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to the whole house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says: You are not to march up and fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Each of you return home, for this situation is from me." So they listened to the word of the Lord and went back according to the word of the Lord. Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built Penuel. Jeroboam said to himself, "The kingdom might now return to the house of David. If these people regularly go to offer sacrifices in the Lord's temple in Jerusalem, the heart of these people will return to their Lord, King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and go back to the king of Judah." So the king sought advice. Then he made two golden calves, and he said to the people, "Going to Jerusalem is too difficult for you. Israel, here are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt." He set up one in Bethel and put the other in Dan. This led to sin. The people walked in procession before one of the calves all the way to Dan. Jeroboam also made shrines on the hill places and made priests from the ranks of the people who were not Levites. Jeroboam made a festival in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like the festival in Judah. He offered sacrifices on the altar. He made this offering in Bethel to sacrifice to the calves he had made. He also stationed the priests in Bethel for the high places he had made. He offered sacrifices on the altar he had set up in Bethel on the 15th day of the eighth month. He chose this month on his own. He made a festival for the Israelites, offered sacrifices on the altar, and burned incense. A man of God came, however, from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, while Jeroboam was standing beside the altar to burn incense. The man of God cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, "Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says: A son will be born to the house of David named Josiah, and he will sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who are burning incense on you. Human bones will be burned on you." He gave a sign that day. He said, "This is the sign that the Lord has spoken. The altar will now be ripped apart, and the ashes that are on it will be poured out." When the king heard the message that the man of God had cried out against the altar at Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Arrest him." But the hand he stretched out against him withered, and he could not pull it back to himself. The altar was ripped apart, and the ashes poured from the altar, according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king responded to the man of God, "Plead for the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me, so that my hand may be restored to me." So the man of God pleaded for the favor of the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it had been at first. Then the king declared to the man of God, "Come home with me, refresh yourselves, and I'll give you a reward." But the man of God replied, "If you were to give me half your house, I still wouldn't go with you, and I wouldn't eat food or drink water in this place, for this is what I was commanded by the word of the Lord. You must not eat food or drink water or go back the way you came." So he went another way. He did not go back by the way he had come to Bethel. Now a certain old prophet was living in Bethel. His son came and told him all the deeds that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. His sons also told their father the words that he had spoken to the king. Then their father asked them, "Which way did he go?" His sons had seen the way taken by the man of God who had come from Judah. Then he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he got on it. He followed the man of God and found him sitting under an oak tree. He asked him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" "I am," he said. Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat some food." But he answered, "I cannot go back with you or accompany you. I will not eat food or drink water with you in this place. For a message came to me by the word of the Lord. You must not eat food or drink water there, or go back by the way you came." He said to him, "I am also a prophet like you. An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord. Bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat food and drink water." The old prophet deceived him, and the man of God went back with him, ate food in his house, and drank water. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And the prophet cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah, "This is what the Lord says. Because you rebelled against the Lord's command and did not keep the command that the Lord your God commanded you, but you went back and ate food and drank water in the place that he said to you, 'Do not eat food and do not drink water,' your corpse will never reach the grave of your ancestors." So after he had eaten food and after he had drunk, the old prophet saddled the donkey for the prophet he had brought back. When he left, a lion attacked him along the way and killed him. His corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey was standing beside it. The lion was standing beside the corpse, too. There were men passing by who saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing beside it, and they went and spoke about it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his way heard about it, he said, "He is the man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord has given him to the lion, and it has mauled and killed him according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to him." Then the old prophet instructed his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." They saddled it, and he went and found the corpse thrown on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse or mauled the donkey. So the prophet lifted the corpse of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back. The old prophet came into the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own grave, and they mourned over him. "Oh, my brother." After he had buried him, he said to his sons, "When I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the message that he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines of the high places in the cities of Samaria is certain to happen." Even after this, Jeroboam did not repent of his evil way, but again made priests for the high places from the ranks of the people. He ordained whoever so desired it, and they became priests of the high places. This was the sin that caused the house of Jeroboam to be cut off and obliterated from the face of the earth. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, became sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Go disguise yourself so they won't know that you're Jeroboam's wife, and go to Shiloh. The prophet Ahijah is there. It was he who told me about becoming king over this people. Take with you 10 loaves of bread, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." Jeroboam's wife did that. She went to Shiloh and arrived at Ahijah's house. Ahijah could not see. He was blind due to his age. But the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife is coming soon to ask you about her son, for he is sick. You are to say such and such to her. When she arrives, she will be disguised." When Ahijah heard the sound of her feet entering the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you disguised? I have bad news for you. Go tell Jeroboam, 'This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I raised you up from among the people, appointed you ruler over my people Israel, tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. But you were not like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what is right in my sight. You behaved more wickedly than all who were before you. In order to anger me, you have proceeded to make for yourself other gods and cast images, but you have flung me behind your back. Because of all this, I am about to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will wipe out all of Jeroboam's males, both slave and free, in Israel. I will sweep away the house of Jeroboam as one sweeps away dung until it is all gone. Anyone who belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and anyone who dies in the field, the birds will eat, for the Lord has spoken. As for you, get up and go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the boy will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He alone out of Jeroboam's house will be given a proper burial, because out of the house of Jeroboam, something favorable to the Lord God of Israel was found in him. The Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will wipe out the house of Jeroboam. This is the day, yes, even today. For the Lord will strike Israel so that they will shake as a reed shakes in water. He will uproot Israel from this good soil that he gave to their ancestors. He will scatter them beyond the Euphrates because they made their Asherah poles, angering the Lord. He will give up Israel because of Jeroboam's sins that he committed and caused Israel to commit." Then Jeroboam's wife got up and left and went to Tirzah. As she was crossing the threshold of the house, the boy died. He was buried, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through his servant, the prophet Ahijah. As for the rest of the events of Jeroboam's reign, how he waged war and how he reigned, note that they are written in the historical record of Israel's kings. The length of Jeroboam's reign was 22 years. He rested with his ancestors, and his son Nadab became king in his place. Now Rehoboam, Solomon's son, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city where the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name. Rehoboam's mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite. Judah did what was evil in the Lord's sight. They provoked him to jealous anger more than all that their ancestors had done with the sins they committed. They also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every green tree. There were even male cult prostitutes in the land. They limited all the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had dispossessed before the Israelites. In the 5th year of King Rehoboam, King Shishak of Egypt went to war against Jerusalem. He seized the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the treasuries of the royal palace. He took everything. He took all the gold shields that Solomon had made. King Rehoboam made bronze shields to replace them and committed them into the care of the captains of the guards who protected the entrance to the king's palace. Whenever the king entered the Lord's temple, the guards would carry the shields. Then they would take them back to the armory. The rest of the events of Rehoboam's reign, along with all his accomplishments, are written in the historical record of Judah's kings. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam throughout their reigns. Rehoboam rested with his ancestors and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite. His son Abijam became king in his place. Okay, there is a lot that happened today and a lot to talk about, but tomorrow we are going to essentially cover very similar ground as we read today by hitting that Second Chronicles view of First Kings. So after we read the Chronicles version, we will summarize the two readings in one shot. So we pause here for today. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That things change, people change, things change around us. You are a constant. You stay the same. Your love is perfect and there is no fear in your perfect love. And we thank you. I thank you for that. We don't need more faith to absolve our fear. We can hold both at the same time. What we need is to understand perfect love in a way that we have never understood it before. We thank you that you exemplify that. You model that, and that is available to each of us. I am so grateful. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Let's talk about what's happening 2 weeks from today, shall we? The Long Walk, July the 7th. I'm going to deem this an international holiday through the Daily Audio Bible because it's not just national, it is international. This is true of this place, this safe space, the Daily Audio Bible Long Walk, July 7th. We're going to talk about it every day, mostly every day, up till the Long Walk on July 7th. So what is the Long Walk? I'm so glad that you asked. The Long Walk is an intentional space set aside on this day to get outside and walk with God. It became a thing a long, long time ago. I have to check the reference of what year it was, but it was an event that took place in Nashville where we walked silently as a community. Thousands of people walked in silence, and its purpose was to walk and repent. Repent on behalf of a city, a nation, a people, but to repent in the way that only we can do personally, and that is individually, to recognize what sins, what things are standing in between us and our relationship with God. Now, if you go to a more traditional church, repentance is possibly part of your service in liturgy. If you go to a non-traditional church, repentance may not be a part of your weekly time of worship at all. And if it's not there, I wonder if it is even on our radar. If it's even a part of our day-to-day, like, oh, wow, I really messed up. I need to repent for that. It's a really good practice to get into daily. But if you don't do it daily, you don't do it weekly, you don't do it monthly, here it is. Once this year, July the 7th, we will walk together in community, but individually. Maybe some of you are getting together collectively to do it, but just set some time aside. Now, we realize that walking is something that not everyone can do. Just set some time aside. If you sit, if you lay, just set some intentional time to be alone with God. Maybe you need music, maybe you need silence, maybe you need, I don't know, a fan. Whatever you need to do to set some time aside this is the day that we hope that you will be intentional and join us on this journey. And we'll talk about the places to post your pictures and your videos so that everyone in community can enjoy each other's scenery and view. And some of you like to give a little overview of, you know, what God spoke to you, or some of you are just like, I've never done this before and I'm going to do it every day. That's the intention, to see what intentionality will do to cultivate your relationship with God. So join us 2 weeks from today on July the 7th. If you would like to partner with Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. We are so grateful that we do not have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or you can utilize the app again. Hit the red circle button up at the top section close to the give button. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit the little red microphone and then go to the bottom right below that on the right hand side and hit chronological to ensure that it gets to the right place. That's it for me today. We will turn the page together tomorrow. I can't wait to be back with you again tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning, DABC. Shalom, shalom. I am calling to stand in the gap for little Amari, who was just recently diagnosed with a kidney tumor. And I'm heartbroken to hear this. You mentioned that he found a mass in her abdomen, so I'm not sure if there are two masses or the abdomen turned out to be the kidney, but regardless, I am just coming alongside you and your son and your daughter-in-law and little sweet Amari, and we lift them up to God's throne of mercy and grace. I pray that this surgery goes smoothly, without any complications, that the pathology report comes back clean. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. We pray the blood of Jesus over this situation. And we just love you, so please keep us posted. Let us know how the surgery goes, and we will continue to pray for you. I think you said your name was Kim. And love you, sister. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, my precious DAPC fam. This is KSD. Just want to pray for one of our DAPCers. But before I do, I need to give a huge shout out and thank you to Wrapped in His Grace. Oh, my dear sister, you have no idea how you have encouraged my heart and how timely your thoughts and prayers were for LOV and myself. Wow. We certainly need your prayers continually as our marriage has hit a major snag. And believe in God. I yet believe God. And so thank you so much, sis. I appreciate you very, very much. I want to pray for our sister Carol Rook from Whitehall, Maryland. Father, I lift up our dear sister Carol Rook as she is in recovery from vestibular neuritis, which has come about from an unknown virus. God, only you know how to best care for Carol, and you know the answer to this virus and this issue that has affected the inner ear. Lord, I'm asking that you would give her the ability to function well, and I pray that whatever is not functioning right within this whole inner ear system that you have so majestically designed, will you speak to it and cause Carol Rook to be made whole? In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray Blessed in the Northwest. And she's having her first court case and is involving her children. And I'm just asking God to be that lawyer in the courtroom for your homegirl. He's able to do it exceedingly. I want to also pray for that precious girl who was talking to somebody on the phone and packed up her stuff and got her cell phone and is going. I'm asking God to touch her heart and to give and to bring her through and touch her mother, Lord, and lift her up. Oh, Father, I'm also asking for the lady with the young baby who's got the burns all over his body. God, you are a doctor in the sick room. It's nothing impossible for you. Lord, you show them the impossible. You touch those parents and let them keep their trust in you. Lord, you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Rebuke, daughter, I'm going to pray for you. The therapist is here with the lymphatic. Lord, we just ask that you have your way. Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. You're a God that says nothing is impossible. And I'm just thanking you for the victory, Lord. I want to also pray for the husband that's servicing overseas and the challenges that they're going through. Oh, God, and thank you for rebuke, daughter. Oh, Lord, continue to have your way in her life. Oh, Lord, we thank you for seeking men in the South for that precious girl who may have been taken by the internet. Lord, I ask you to protect her and bring her home, Lord, and let your divine will be done. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your victory. Oh, Lord, you have your way. Somebody today needs you, Lord. Somebody needs to know you and know that you are God that can do anything. Lord, show yourself mighty. As you always said, you promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. And Lord, we look unto you. We look unto you for the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Have a good day, Deborah. I love you all.
Hi, Chronological. This is Maya over in Palm Springs in regards to my little baby girl, Ella Angel. Today is June 17th. On a Wednesday, and we just got news that the referral that was sent out to her plastic surgeon over in Loma Linda, California, has been rejected. For whatever reason, the physician is referring us back to the burn unit over in Arrowhead, Colton, California, and they indicated that they have what they can do to heal Ella, but it's just so frustrating because the burn center sent this referral out to plastic surgery and dermatology because this was outside of their scope, and we've just been getting the runaround for months, and her healing is not good. She has so much and so many big scars and keloids. It's turning into keloids, and she's so itchy. I just ask for prayer and peace, and I know when the Lord closes one door, he's opening another one, or he's just testing our faith within our little family. And I come on here to ask for encouragement and peace during this time. And I'm so appreciative of everyone's call praying over our baby girl. Deeply, deeply appreciated. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Have a good day.